The truth is out there!
Ooh! I was gonna say that was actually pretty good until that part.
No, that made it better.
Yeah, we'll keep it anyway. What's up, guys? Welcome to this month's issue. Like, it's a comic book of I Want to Believe on the Podzilla 1985 Network. All your favorites are here. Minus
and
Tanner.
Ethan.
I want to get to you. We'll get to you in a second. My name is Shannon Young. I'm the host tonight. This trip into the macabre and odd. Allie, you know what macabre means?
It was redundant.
It doesn't mean redundant. Here with us tonight, Calvin Hebert.
Hello.
Allie Hebert.
Hi.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hola.
And making a grand return to the Podzilla 1985 stage, Ethan Craig Miles.
I'm finally back.
It's been a while.
Yes.
We bring you back for the paranormal show.
You do.
Because this is the one show where, like, it's all different people, kind of. Like, it's there's no combination of me, Asa, or Jesse on this show.
That's true.
Yeah. 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 Every other show has some combination of me, Jesse, and Asa. Whether it's me and Asa, or Jesse and Asa, or me and Jesse. Not this one. This one's the all original. And we have a lot of fun on this show. So you'll fit right in. Just watch yourself.
Did you just call this the all original? Isn't this the newest show?
Yeah, it's the original newest show.
Okay.
It's the newest show on the original Podzilla Network. There's a bunch of other Podzilla networks out there. Don't listen to them.
I'm
apparently
so confused.
1,000
parallel dimensions.
984 others?
Yes.
Okay.
There's parallel dimensions. And there's 1,984 different shows. We're the 1,985th one. The best one. Tanner out this week, month. Tanner's actually working on a project that we're both very, very excited about. I don't know how much I want to reveal right now because we're still in the stages of it, planning stages of it. But we have a very special guest that we're going to try to get on the show for next month. And it's about local history here in Cape Girardeau, something we've talked about before, and it's going to be very, very exciting. So as soon as we have word about it, we'll post it on Podzilla. You can also check out the flyer for the first ever Podzilla wrestling show coming June 12th to the Gaming Ground Arena at, I believe, 9:38 p.m. Exactly.
We have an arena?
Yeah, here at the store.
Shannon has lost his mind today.
It's in the basement.
It's a good show. We've got a lot of great indie talent coming in. We've got Mr. Portugal's going to be here.
Mr. Portugal.
Hack Silver.
Before and after.
Before and after tag team. The Flex Offenders.
Should I know any of these people?
You should know all of them.
Justin the Juice Smart.
That's actually a person.
They're all people. Native American, the Native American Jalon.
Are you just trying to get me to
just signed laugh? To recently is OG Mudbutt. Two Glock Shoddy.
Don't we also have a GM?
Wait. Is that a Glock that fires? a shotty that fires two Glocks? Or two Glocks that fire shotgun shells?
And of course, the hottest tag team on the indie circuit, Nintendo 69.
I'm okay with that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. So,
I actually know that one.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Hoping to sign more people in the future. We got the ghost of the Macho Man Randy Savage is going to be there.
And you're also going to have a concert, apparently.
Yeah, concert featuring Mrs. Potato Dick. And Edwin McCain. I must note, Edwin McCain will not be singing I'll Be. So if you're coming to hear him sing that song, you will be disappointed. Does anyone know that song other than Lindsay?
I know that song.
You want to sing it for
familiar.
Us?
No.
Go ahead. Hum us a few bars.
Sing.
It's copyrighted.
Exactly.
But if it's...
It hasn't stopped us before.
Yeah, I was like, if somebody sings it...
Yeah, no,
it's copyrighted.
Most of the stuff we do on this show is copyrighted, though, yeah. So everything's right on that. Let's talk about the paranormal and the weird, other than just being weird.
Okay.
I'm weird.
We're going to start off with some scientific news tonight. I caught this story on BBC.com. This is... I think this is interesting. Calvin, you're going to find this interesting, and I think this ties into something we talked about like 2 months ago.
Am I?
We'll see. Well, we're all about to find out. The journal eNeuro... pronounced that correctly. It's been a month. Published research providing possible clues in the search for the physical basis of memory. A team transplanted memories from one snail to another by transferring a form of genetic information called RNA. Do you know what RNA is?
Yes.
Because I'm going to try to pronounce it, and when I mess it up, please tell me. Ribonucleic?
I've heard it pronounced that way.
Acid? A large molecule involved in various essential roles within biological organisms. Now, here's what happened. The snails were trained to develop a defensive reaction. What I think they said was they shocked the snails. But they assured it It didn't hurt them. They assured.
I call BS.
Okay. Why do you call BS on that?
Shocking is just the contraction of muscles.
Yeah, how do you know that hurts the snails? I'm waiting for you to say something like, you can't talk to the snail, so how do you know it doesn't hurt them? So I can throw it in your face of, well, how do you know your cat likes you? Just because it lays there.
Body language.
Body language?
Yes. Snails have body language.
Yeah.
Slimy. They have shell language.
Yeah. You shut the shell up. When the RNA was inserted into snails that had not undergone this process, they behaved just as if they had been sensitized. So the ones that were used to it, the shock, and like curled up in a defensive position, they did it for
50. Why are they getting defensive if it doesn't hurt them?
Again, it's a reaction. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's painful. It's a reaction.
When the doctor hits your knee with a little hammer,
it can hurt being hit.
I mean, it
someone
can.
Want to hit her right now? Maybe.
I'm not.
It doesn't do any damage. That's the point.
Right. It's just a little shock.
You don't have to be damaged to be hurt.
Hey, you know, they
you
used
can
to
be emotionally
I think
hurt.
By the definition, those two things are linked.
You know, they used to do electroshock therapy and no one complained then.
They also did lobotomies and none of them complained.
Exactly.
People pray the gay way.
There's a reason we didn't bring you back on anymore. Traditionally, long-term memories were thought to be stored at the brain's synapses, the junctions between nerve cells. Each neuron has several thousand synapses. Professor Glansman, who was one of the people that had been involved with this research, said, if memories were stored at synapses, I think that's right, there's no way our experiment would have worked. Researchers see this result as a step towards alleviating, what is wrong with me tonight, the effects of diseases such as Alzheimer's or post-traumatic stress disorder. When asked if this process could be conducive to the transplant of memories laid down through life experiences, Professor Glansman was uncertain, but expressed optimism that the greater understanding of memory would lead to a greater opportunity to explore different aspects of it. So, we talked a couple of, about 2 months ago about ways that we could live forever. And one of the things that we said was transferring our brain, basically our memory, into another living entity or a shell or whatever, a ghost in the shell, if you will. So this could be a step towards that. But I think that raises an interesting question. If just because you implant your memories into something, is that still you?
Well, yeah, the argument is there a connection between memories and consciousness? Mm. And are they the same? Are they not? But there's also a lot of different forms of memory, like a huge array of them, and that's dealing with one
type of memory.
Yeah.
I think this is, what if we could take some of those memories, you could take your memories and put them in something else, and then be, you would still be alive and you could be rid of those memories.
Like a
what's that
okay, movie? So are you talking about like a memory trash, or are you talking about like a save hard drive for memory?
Well, see, that would be interesting, because then you could, like Alzheimer's patients or people that lose their memories, you could literally store your memories for later.
If you know it runs in your family.
Yeah. Or if you start to forget things, you know, if there's a risk of it, you could literally preserve your memories as more than just a picture or video,
but
stuff like that.
At the same time, what's to keep someone from messing with it? And would you really know it's actually your memories?
Oh,
do you know your memories are actually your memories now?
Right.
No. Are you people's sure you're memory, in reality?
So people's memories change over time. Like your memory of an event changes. So that would, when you upload your memories or whatever, would affect what you remember later, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, but I think this is very literal memory saving. So your memory wouldn't change. Your memory would be whatever you remembered it as then would be what you would remember it 50 years down the line if you you brought the memory back.
So to Allie's point,
I can't think of words.
Your memory does.
How do you pray the gay away? Sorry.
Not the topic.
Your memory does work like that. You remember the last time you remembered the thing. You're not remembering the actual event. You're literally remembering the last time you remembered it.
That blows my mind.
It's weird, but it's like a progressive line. You're just handing it down to the next person.
Right. Well, you know, do you believe in genetic memory?
I believe in DNA.
Well, I mean, when I say genetic memory, like that you could literally pass your memories down to another person, like in your family?
Not
because I've heard some people talk about that in terms of like reincarnation, that reincarnation is not really a thing, that you could be reliving memories that someone else in your family had, and that could be that you could pass on your memory onto another person.
That's creepy.
Is that their explanation for deja vu? That isn't reincarnation.
You know what I hate about deja vu is that it's real. Like, it's one of those things that, and you've all experienced it, the moment something happens and you just go, nope, no, we done this before.
Why'd you have to use that voice?
Well, that's my excited voice.
Like, okay. Your third eye is just opened and you don't like it at all.
You're going to have to wait for the After Dark show with that potty mouth. I'm about tired of you talking about third eyes and gay away over there. Oh, the third eye. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
Okay. But
nobody knows anymore.
I think it would be interesting that you could like trash memories. That's helpful.
Get rid of the stuff.
I mean, that's
that
just
like
control alt delete.
Yeah,
cut and paste.
I feel like there'd be other side effects to that too, though.
Have you ever seen the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
No.
I've never seen it either, but I know the basics of it. Jim Carrey wants to forget like his ex-girlfriend or his ex-wife or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he does this experimental thing where they erase that part of his memory. But as time goes on, I think it starts to break through a little bit. It's like Supernatural when they walled Lucifer away in Sam's mind and it slowly broke the wall down.
But there's also the idea. Did you ever watch the movie The Vow where she got Alzheimer's and ended up going back to her.
That's not Alzheimer's.
Not Alzheimer's. She.
Okay, I'm
not. That's not what I meant.
That's not. 24-year-old Rachel McAdams did not have Alzheimer's, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a really severe case.
She was in a car accident. She had memory loss.
Talking about 50 First Dates.
Yes. Okay.
Similar to that, actually. Yeah.
But so she completely forgot her entire marriage.
Right.
And went back to who she thought she was engaged to. And then at the end of the movie, she goes back to who she was married to because history tends to repeat itself.
Yeah.
So if you just erase your memory, how do you know something almost exactly like that's not going to just happen again?
Well, that's the thing is that with memory, it's even if you try to erase your memories, you know, there's one, who the hell knows where memory stored? Like this thing said, like memory and your brain is such a complicated thing. You don't really think about that when you're younger. You just know that you remember things. You know that you think of things. But to actually like try to figure out what that is, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
So
literally mind-boggling.
It makes my head hurt.
An interesting idea would be to use this, and this might be able to see if you can actually delete something because this is so severe, but to try it with PTSD patients.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they're talking about here. Yeah, to erase their PTSD, to get that.
At least erase the traumatic event. They might still have PTSD, but at least they won't be like thrown back into the reliving the same thing.
Aren't there people that get symptoms though, like whenever they are in an accident, they don't remember the accident, but the fact that they don't remember causes a trauma in itself.
Like, or at least
not being able to remember things.
Yeah.
Remember that feeling? Or
no, just the fact that they don't remember.
Right, it's traumatic that they can't get that memory back.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's lots of people that kill people can black out and don't have memory of it. Rape victims sometimes don't have memory of what happened to them. There's lots of different things. And yeah, memory and the brain is just, it's one of the last really not unexplored regions of life, but just unexplainable. Like, it's so hard to pinpoint anything when it comes to the human brain. And I'm both interested and terrified to see what they do come up with.
Yeah, I can agree on that.
I would be too.
I feel like half the reason that we get through life in general is because there's just enough uncertainty that we can tell ourselves, well, maybe this could happen. But if you were absolutely sure of, okay, this is why this happens, this is why this happens, and this is what's going to happen to you, and this is why that happens to you, I think people would be a lot more afraid. Oh, you'd just be eh? You'd be eh over there?
I'd be eh, like there'd be no motivation whatsoever because you know what an end is going to be.
It's
like, why bother?
Puppet Master dilemma.
Yeah. Like when you watch the first Puppet Master and you're like, well, that was pretty good. And then by like movie number 8, you're like, how do they keep financing these things?
I don't think that's what he means.
Oh.
I mean, like if you have somebody that is so smart to plan out everything that meticulously and actually understand how the whole world works that well.
Yeah.
They're going to be the boredest person ever.
Yeah.
Gwen Con.
Yeah. Well, like the episode of X-Files when they had the book that told them everything. Mm. Allie, specifically, where the alien was building the fence.
I remember the alien that built a wall
That's what I mean. Wait. I remember he had that book. It's from the new season.
He's like, do not leave.
I thought you were combining two different episodes for a second.
Do not contact us. Yeah, well, this has all your answers.
They're not sending their best, you know? Mm-mm. Let's move on. Let's stop talking about memory, because I got quite a few. All right, true story. Do you guys remember your childhood at all?
Yes.
Vaguely.
I remember things that people have told me, so I don't actually have a memory of my childhood. I have stories that my parents have told me.
What's the earliest time you can remember? Like, that you literally, not just remember, but like you actively go, oh yeah, I remember all that stuff.
As Calvin explained, I would just be remembering the last time I remembered it, so nothing.
Oh God, you are difficult tonight. I can't remember anything before my teenage years. Like, it's nothing. Nothing. I got pictures that I've been shown, but I can't remember anything before I was like 16. And really? I don't know why.
So there's an event that some people like remember, but other people just kind of, they have a vague recollection of, but they don't actually remember a specific point of when they first like turned on
their memory.
Yeah, like they just, oh, I'm a human right. in this world. Like they gained their agency all of a sudden.
When they became cognizant.
Yeah.
That's when I was a teenager, I guess, because up until that, life was boring. Only thing I remember about that was like Steak-ums, man. Steak-ums in NHL 98.
I'm so sorry. What? And sad.
Oh, I'm sorry? it's too good for Steak-ums over here. Steak-ums are delicious.
For like the first three times you have them.
Both of you A-Bears tonight. Difficult. All right. This one's from unexplainedmysteries.com. Now, that's Ethan. That's unexplainedmysteries.com, not unsolvedmysteries.com.
Aww. Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
I wanted to clarify for you.
Thank you.
This didn't happen recently, but this is a story that was published that I find very interesting. And it's a little bit of paranormal. So let's get a little spooky on it. 35-year-old English... Yes, insurance broker Stephen Young, no relation, was found guilty of the horrific double murder of Harry and Nicola Fuller at their house in East Sussex. This is a basic story. Guy murders two people over money, right? And it's pretty brutal. There's an audio of the woman calling, trying to get help, but she can't speak because she's been shot. It's pretty traumatic. Don't listen to it. The guy was convicted of the murders, right?
Okay.
Right.
Until a few weeks later, it was revealed that several members of the jury based their verdict on information they obtained through a Ouija board.
What?
According to this report, four of the jurors had got together one night at the Brighton's Old Ship Hotel and fashioned a crude Ouija board out of paper and a wine glass. For the record, me and Tanner and Lindsay tried that a couple years ago.
It didn't really do anything.
You have to get the Parker Brothers edition or the ghost won't come. The session was said to have yielded some intriguing results, with the group becoming convinced that they had managed to contact the spirit of Harry Fuller, one of the two murder victims. Stephen Young done it, the ghost allegedly stated. Vote guilty tomorrow. Apparently the ghost, not good at grammar, but he's dead.
I mean, that might have been just the lingo of the time.
And he was saving time, too. Like, he didn't want to spell it all out. The Court of Appeals overturned the conviction, as they should, but Young was found guilty by a second jury not long after. He's currently serving two life sentences. So they convicted a guy, Ethan, based on Ouija testimony.
So if that threw it out, I guess it doesn't technically fall under double jeopardy, but if you've technically been charged once.
I think that's more of the fact that he got charged. I think that's if you're charged and you're found not guilty. You can't be charged for the same crime twice if you're found now guilty. But if you're found guilty and then there's an appeal.
Gotcha.
So, but it didn't help. The dude was still found guilty the second time because he very clearly murdered these people. But that's the reason I thought.
Obviously, even the Ouija board knew.
Yeah, with the... And that was just a wine glass and some paper.
Right?
Schmucks. Poor people. But it reminded me of something I had heard a long time ago. It's not common, but there is a precedent to be set for ghosts being used in jury cases. This is a true story. And I knew about this story. I looked up the details, so I got it all right. This is a classic story. And if Tanner was here, I'm sure he would know. I just winked at the crowd. There was a woman, it was 1897, Elvazona Hester, let's just say Hester, it sounds better, found dead in her home Her husband was a blacksmith named Edward Shue and had her when they found her body, by the time the kid came over and found the body, went to the police to tell them, hey, this woman's dead. When they came back, the husband had already taken the woman upstairs. He had dressed her. He had cleaned her. He had her laying in bed in basically burial attire because he wanted to just bury her because he was so distraught over her being dead, right? He also had a scarf around her neck. And when the doctor that had come in to check on the body tried to look at it, he said, no, don't. You can't look at that. And since he was so beloved in the town, like he was, you know, a good guy, everyone thought, they didn't think anything of it. They took his word on it that she had just died and they let it go. So they had the funeral. Everything was fine. The only person that didn't believe him was the woman's mother. You know what? I don't even need this. I don't need this story. I could tell this story off the top of my head. Woman's mother did not believe that this guy was innocent. She hated him. So she knew that he was responsible for her murder. But it wasn't until that she prayed. She was a very religious woman. And she said that the ghost of her daughter visited her 4 times in her dreams and told her that her husband had beaten her, was abusive, and that he had broken her neck. And not only that, but the ghost, my favorite part of the story, the ghost then turned her head all the way around to where it was looking behind her and walked away and disappeared while the head was staring back at the mother the whole time.
This sounds like a Witcher 3 side quest.
Kind of, actually, yeah. Well, the woman went to the prosecuting attorney. She told him, this is what happened. My daughter came to me in my dream. She told me how he killed her. You have to look into it. And for whatever reason, the prosecutor decided to reopen the case and did a full autopsy of the body.
It's like every episode of Psych.
Yeah, except this is in 1897. So this is Psych, the prequel.
Did they go to that year?
I don't think they did that episode. When they did the autopsy, they found out the woman had torn ligaments in her neck. Her windpipe was crushed, and she had, I think her like neck, her, one of her bones was separated or severed or something like that. She'd very clearly been murdered. They tried the guy, they put him on trial, and they called her up to testify. And the defense attorney railed her about the story because the word had spread through the town that this woman talked to her dead daughter. So they were going to discredit her on the stand by saying, oh, so a ghost told you this happened. But the woman was so adamant that this was real, like never changed her story or anything. They convicted the guy based on the testimony of a ghost given to her mother. And the guy died in jail from some disease before he ever served much of his sentence. But he was convicted based on testimony of a ghost.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now you can say it was because it was 1897. That probably wouldn't fly today.
Yeah.
Isn't it still on the books that a horse can serve as a witness though?
What?
Isn't that still a thing?
Things I don't have to that stay in my a notes. Thing until someone's just like, this really should not be a thing.
Anymore. Right, but I know there was some point in time where horses could serve as witnesses in a jury. Or not in a jury, in a stand. Like it's
did so they put long. Did they have to put peanut butter in the horse's mouth to get it to testify?
Well, or you know, stomp 3 times for yes. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to look that one up.
I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
That one's not in my notes, but
but like there's a weird precedent for kind of ludicrous things that happened in juries.
At trials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I thought the ghost was the weirdest one. I gotta find the horse thing now. Like, I get a ghost. You know, a ghost was a living thing at one point, possibly.
Horse is a living thing,
yeah. Yeah. It's also a horse.
A horse is a horse, of course.
Lindsay, leave him hanging. Okay. You looking that up?
Mm-hmm.
All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to go to just a quick story real quick. The question has been raised recently, and it was told to me by Hunter, who's a friend of the show here and an original cast member of the Podzilla. There's a theory going around that is Bigfoot flat? You've heard the flat earther argument. Is Bigfoot flat? And the reason we can't photograph him is because he turns his body and becomes too thin to see.
Well, I was going to ask you if he was flat footed.
No, is he flat? Like flat earth, but it's flat Bigfoot. Turns out the answer to that is no, because that's goddamn stupid.
Bigfoot is not a paper doll.
And also, no one cares about Bigfoot.
Okay.
The most boring cryptozoological creature in existence is Bigfoot. Best case scenario, he's a big ape that no one's, you know, managed to catch on, you know, footage yet. Worst case scenario, there's nothing. Either way, I'm bored to tears. He brings nothing to the table, Bigfoot. If I saw him walk by the store, I wouldn't ask him if he had trade-ins.
Calvin, you got that story yet? Because he's just going to keep going.
I'm okay with it.
I can't stand him. The only good Bigfoot in history was the Pizza Hut pizza.
That was last week.
What?
There was a Pizza Hut pizza called the Bigfoot.
Okay.
It helped me with the robust physique I have today. Calvin, you got that story yet?
I'm coming up with like a whole bunch of lawsuits that have to do with
horses.
Well, yeah, equine lawsuits is what they're called, apparently.
I should have.
I didn't know that was a term.
I really should have majored in equine law.
Bird law.
Yeah, been much more specific. All right, while he's looking that up, got one more quick story here from oddityscentral.com, and it's about two Singaporean women recently who were contacted police after being conned out of close to $1,500 by a man who sold them 9 small bottles of holy water, which he claimed would cure their bad luck and solve all their problems.
Why would you buy holy water?
We've all heard of cunning snake oil salesmen using their power of persuasion to sell fake cures to gullible people, but it takes a special kind of talent to sell a small quantity of water for a small fortune that you... You need to find potential customers naive enough to fall for their lies. And in retrospect, 30-year-old Miss Yang from Singapore admits that she and her sister probably should have thought twice before spending a total of $1,450 on 9 small bottles of water because the seller told them it was capable of turning their luck.
Yeah.
This point of the show, it's important to mention that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Seriously.
There's no such thing as a quick fix in life. If there was, we'd all be okay. You know? So next time someone offers to sell you holy water, Ethan, or magic beans, think twice before you purchase them. You might just be conning yourself out of money.
2 + 2 = 4.
I remember when you bought those beans a couple years ago.
I did. I bought them for the store.
You did. And you were still waiting for that beanstalk to grow in. And never going to happen.
I'm thinking about those beans, though.
Did you find the horse thing yet?
No. There's a lot of equine lawsuits, apparently.
Wow.
There is no horse.
Of course.
Allie, were you going to say something?
I don't understand.
What a horse is?
I know what a horse is.
A horse is a type of animal.
In the old days, people would ride them.
People still ride horses.
Nowadays, for some reason, people make cartoons of them.
They make what?
Cartoons.
No, those are ponies. It's different.
What?
Yeah, ponies and horses aren't the same thing. Ponies are small horses. They're baby horses.
But they're still horses.
Yeah. I'm waiting for her to correct me, and she's not correcting me.
I mean, technically, a pony is a small horse. It's not a baby horse. It's just a small horse.
But different from a miniature horse.
Yes.
Miniature horses are much cooler. Like little Sebastian. That was a miniature horse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I know the pop culture references.
I like how defeated we both sounded there.
It's because we know he hasn't actually watched the show.
I have watched the show because you've made me watch the show. How many episodes have I had to watch because you wanted to watch
it?
Not
all of them.
Because we don't want to watch the things I want to watch. It's too scary.
Oh, please.
It's too scary for the little white girl at the end of the table. She can't handle the big bad wolf coming in through the middle of the night because she's too tired to do it because she worked all day moving boxes around.
And Ethan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Lindsay?
I'm fine.
Did you find that story yet, Calvin?
I was going to keep going all the way to the bank.
Is that where you're going to be sleeping?
But the bank is closed.
I got a couch. I got lots of couches. Never mind. No, I got to stop these jokes. All right, let's talk about the main thing tonight, since Calvin's never going to find the horses.
No, I don't think I am.
I saw it coming. Because I'm a psychic.
Whoa.
How do you mean a psycho?
Because he's a psychic. That's how.
Yeah. How did you become a psychic?
He ate those magic beans.
That's why.
And it gave him 6 wishes, and he wished to be a psychic.
That's why the beanstalk never grew.
I was gonna use the holy water to
to vanquish me.
No, to grow my beanstalk.
You're gonna use holy water to grow a beanstalk?
It used to be a blessed beanstalk.
I want holy beans. I don't know why that made Lindsay laugh so hard.
Any any respect we had in the paranormal community
is gone.
At this point, we never had any.
I was going to say.
We never had any to begin with. Psychics. I got this suggested to me, and it was kind of out of nowhere, but I thought, you know what? That's a good topic. I'd like to talk about that because there is a misconception that if it's paranormal, I believe in it because I enjoy the paranormal so much. No, I have my limits, and psychics are where my limits stop.
You mean start?
Start. What I say?
Stop.
No, I meant start.
Okay.
Okay. So, if you don't know Ethan...
What about Sean Spencer?
Well, see, Sean Spencer is not a psychic. And that's exactly... is a great example of what we're talking about.
What about The Mentalist?
Not again, a psychic.
I forget his name.
These are all people that are exactly the problem with psychics, is they have no actual ability to foresee the future or tell things. They're just...
Sean Spencer does a great job.
He does a great job of noticing small things, but he's not a psychic. That's the
point.
But
he plays one on TV.
All psychics play the role of psychic.
Shannon, have you?
I'm getting angry.
You've been to like a hair place recently? And
yeah, his kitchen.
Revlon.
And yeah, it starts with an R.
He's just seeping into my brain.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you're being a psychic.
It probably burns a little bit, but you know.
So the problem with psychics is that most psychics that you've ever known have been on television, right? You remember Miss Cleo?
Yes.
Call Me Now.
Call Me Now.
She's dead, by the way.
I know.
Aww.
Sylvia Brown.
I don't know that one.
Sylvia Brown is one of
the... The name is familiar.
She's one of the best known psychics in history. And she also dead. Bet you didn't see that coming.
Well, you said so, in history.
Oh. Yeah. Sylvia Brown is one of the few people that ever got kicked off of Coast to Coast AM permanently.
Wow. Huh.
So she was on the show live when I believe the Chilean miner incident happened, where they had the miners trapped underground.
Okay.
And I believe it was George Norrie was hosting, and he asked her about it, and she said, they're going to come out fine. I see it. And when it turns out that they were all dead, she said, I knew something like that was going to happen. And they basically said, all right, well, you're clearly a fake, and they booted her out, and she was never allowed back on the show. But that didn't stop her from making... millions.
Of course not.
Yeah. She was rich beyond, and her son also a psychic and is rich, because like Ali was talking about The Mentalist and psych and you know, people like that, is they do cold readings, they do hot readings, they pick apart things that they notice about you, and they use that to predict the future or
Sean
tell you.
Sean Spencer was a detective.
Did he go to a police academy?
No.
Okay, well then he's not a detective. He was just a guy that saw things.
He was raised by a detective.
He's a consulting detective?
My father was an alcoholic. I was raised by an alcoholic. Am I an alcoholic?
It's not where I was going with this. He wasn't trained to trick people like that. He used it to get out of legal issues.
So he tricked people into getting out of legal issues. What is your stance here?
I don't know.
Look, can we just
turning red and arguing with me?
Can we just call it Jedi mind tricking people? That's all they do.
It pretty much is. But what the problem is that these people, they don't do it just as party favors. And this is why I hate psychics. They don't just
do
it for the fun of it.
They do it to profit.
They do it to profit. And not only to profit, but to profit off the misery of people. The ones that say that they can talk to a loved one, or, you know, we can tell you this and we can tell you that, like, those people, I think, are the scum of the earth.
I'm hearing someone that needs a letter. Their name starts with the letter J.
It's a reading what they do. Ethan, what I
Jesus.
Tell you is you pick basic
from
names.
From
the grave. Sorry, delayed reaction.
You've had a lot of those today, don't you?
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Hi.
Anyway, so what do you think? That's my stance on it, is that they're terrible people. Calvin, you are a believer in both science and the possibilities that exist. Do you think that psychics are real? Do you think there's any legitimacy to what they do as they state how they do it?
No. Okay. I don't want to make anybody mad, but no.
I don't think you're going to make anyone mad at this table. Does
anyone? Well, no, not at this table. I just mean in general.
Like, that's listening right now?
Yeah.
Would you piss off psychics who, like, knew they would get pissed off?
Well, they wouldn't, because how would they know?
Yeah, why wasn't anybody yelling at me earlier?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't exist. Like, I have a hard time believing in any of that stuff. I have a hard time To me, there's a difference between a medium and a psychic. A medium is someone that feels that they've kind of tapped into the paranormal world and can speak to spirits, or that they're more attuned to the spirit world. I would give that a little bit of believability. That could be a thing, because I do believe in, there's a big part of me that believes in spirits. I want to believe in spirits, but there's absolutely no part of me that believes that someone can tell the future. And there's also a big difference between a medium who uses their quote unquote abilities to help people or help police cases, because police, a lot of the times, this is a thing. They will rely on mediums to help solve cases unofficially, like Sean mm-hmm. Spencer. They will go to them and ask for help, you know, seeing things that maybe they didn't see. But there's a big difference between that and someone that has a hotline that you can call for like $5 a minute to tell you that they're talking, you're talking to your mom.
Yeah.
And I wanted to use that when I was younger. Like after my mom passed away and after my father passed away, I very much considered going to a psychic and talking to them about my parents and see if they could get in contact, just to see, you know, because I don't believe it. But what if there is that 1% chance that it's real and I could have closure? But I never did, because I don't believe it's real. It's a hustle.
Yeah.
Well, so to identify the hustle, you know why they have very over the top and audacious accents?
So it's harder to understand?
No, because they have multiple people at their call centers, and if they're all doing a similar over-the-top audacious accent, you're more likely to believe that they're all the same person.
There's also ones that some of the most infamous psychics, other than like Sylvia Brown, there was also, well, not just Sylvia Brown, and honestly, a lot of the TV pastors, people, they all use the same kind of techniques.
Faith healers,
stuff like that.
I was going to like ask you about that, but I didn't want to get religious.
What was the one I was telling you about a couple years ago?
We'll get to it, Ethan. Give me 1 second. You've opened Pandora's box now.
Okay.
What's that?
There was one I was telling you about that was making all these predictions, and it was like, oh, that's totally Trump.
Yeah, but I mean, that could be said about a lot of things. Like, everyone talks about, what was it? Is it Confucius? Not Confucius. Nostradamus.
Yeah.
That Nostradamus predicted all these different things. That shit is so vague. If you really want to, you can warp anything into that. You know, you can make that sound like whatever you want to believe. Trump could be the Antichrist. Trump could be the savior. It doesn't matter. Like, you can warp anything. You can make yourself believe whatever you want to believe if you really want to believe it. So I hate that Nostradamus. I used to read the National Enquirer. That was like a yearly issue. More Nostradamus predictions. He's been dead for like, what, 24,000 years? How the hell is he still making predictions? I'm not asking you in particular. It's a rhetorical question, Ethan.
So what about prophecy?
Like the movie starring Christopher Walken?
No, like actual prophecies.
I don't believe in those either. Are you talking about like biblical and stuff like that?
Well, I mean biblical too, but I'm just talking like there are people who come forward and will say, I've had like a vision of a terrible event that will happen like a year or so after I die.
See, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, because if someone could legitimately do that, it's never been proven. No one has ever had something so specific. They said, this is exactly what's going to happen on this day, and this is it. If that ever happened in history, then maybe I would go, okay, it's a possibility, but it's never happened. There was a show on NBC. I've told this story before, and I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. But there was a show on NBC, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was basically all around magic, you know? Yeah. And I believe it was Chris Angel, who is a famous magician, said he had an envelope. And he said if anyone could tell him what was in that envelope, he would give them like $1 million. And no one on the show could tell him. And there was this one guy who said, like, one of the things that he did to impress the judges was he went to the audience and did like cold readings. He would tell people about, you know, oh, you have a mother who passed away, stuff like that. You know, that bullshit. And when it was over, like, Chris Angel hated this guy. He said he was exploitive. Like, this is the kind of thing that, you know, that makes it terrible. And at the end of the show, he opened up the envelope, and all that was written on the piece of paper was 9/11. He said, if there were real psychics in the world, then this never would have happened. And it's absolutely true. No one's ever predicted anything about that. So I don't believe in biblical prophecy. I don't believe in like some guy woke up and said, this is going to happen tomorrow. And I wish it did. Like, that would make life way more interesting. But I don't buy
terrible.
It.
Well, I mean, if we can stop it. But
right.
My bigger point was, do you lump in prophecies with psychics, or are they a different kind of thing?
I think they're different.
Okay.
Because I think some people can have what they feel is a prophetic vision, And they may be wrong or right, but it's like a one-off thing.
I feel like prophets don't usually profit off of their stuff.
Jesus was a prophet, was he not?
Yeah.
He didn't profit off of it.
I mean, he was the fulfilling of prophets, technically.
He was the end game?
Yes. I haven't even seen that movie, and I know your reference.
But yes, no, psychics are a whole different thing. Psychics, they're out to make a buck. I saw a show years ago. It was a celebrity psychic, and they had Bret Hart on it. You know, I'm a big wrestling fan. And Bret Hart's brother, Owen Hart, died a couple years before that in this terrible accident in the ring where he was being lowered from it was either a zip cord or a bungee from the roof of the building. He was like an over-the-top superhero type thing. And it snapped, and he fell to his death in the ring, live on pay-per-view.
Yep.
Thankfully, they had cut to something else, so you didn't see it on TV. There's footage of him in the ring, but you have to really go out of your way to find it. It's not something that they show. But Bret was on there, and they were talking to him about it, and they were telling him, I'm talking to your brother. You have any messages for him, stuff like that. And, you know, he seemed moved by it. And that's the part that gets you, is because it's like you're exploiting this sadness for your own money or fame or something like that.
How could somebody not be moved at you bringing that kind of thing up?
Yeah, it's
like, just in general, you talking about it is going to...
I've had people come into the store and, you know, whatever reason, we'll get to the subject of my mother, and just talking about her, I'll tear up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can exploit that real easy. And if you're these people that are so good at it, whether it's a natural ability they were born with, or if it's something they've studied, because you can study that shit too, then you can use that to exploit people.
That's the thing that mentalist does.
Are you putting me in a trance right now? What is happening?
I was going to say, because I'm impressed by what you can do.
Ethan, what do you think about this? What is your thoughts on psychics?
It's hard for me to really think about it, because I'm just like, I want this to exist.
You
want to
believe?
I want to believe, yes.
You're on the right show, buddy.
But at the same time, it's just like, people, why are you using this for monetary gain if you know it can be used for good?
Right.
That's kind of what gets to me a little bit.
People are scum.
What about you, Allie?
And fake.
I like the psychic that, he pretends to be a psychic. The only psychic I like is Sean Spencer.
Jesus Christ.
I don't even know Sean Spencer.
Psych. The show Psych.
Oh, okay.
There was a big obsession there for a while of that whole... detectives who see, or normal people, not even really detectives, who see little things like if you had something, if you had a piece of,
for instance, Shannon here is Irish. I can tell by his necklace.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Or, you know, I could say that Calvin has dabbled with transsexuals.
Is that a knock on my hair? Oh, no, that's a wrestling shirt. Never mind.
It was just a guess. I had a 50-50 chance.
Well, I mean, that's it's both. That's more than a 50-50.
Oh, never mind. If they're transsexual, that makes it like...
Weird math.
Is it like 25%? Or is it a 75%?
What?
I don't know the math.
I think we're getting off the topic.
It's all with what you identify.
Did we have a topic?
Psychics.
Yeah.
The problem with psychics is that everyone agrees that it's not real.
That was my concern, because I asked you, what are you going to do for the show? And you're like, we're going to talk about psychics. I was like, okay, cool. So someone's going to disagree with you on that a little bit, maybe.
Well, right? So Tony, who's a friend of the show, he may or may not be listening to this episode. I know he listens to PW. I don't know if he's listened to this one.
There's eight Tonys.
Well, I don't want to say his last name. Okay. I don't want to put him on blast. Mr. Pink.
Okay.
He said on our page... or on my page, he said, that seems true psychic phenomena are random and unforced. I've personally been psychic down to the moment and seeing it all beforehand, but I was young and it wasn't on purpose. It was weird. I was around 10. But that feels more like a prophetic thing. Yeah. If you saw something going to happen.
Or like what I've experienced, where it's basically deja vu, but in reverse.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
I've done that.
My mom, she was married once before my father. And her first husband was murdered. And before he was murdered, she never talked about it, ever. Like, I had to dig to find out all the details about what happened to her first husband. And my cousin Ryan kind of helped me out with that, because his side of his family is the one that killed her first husband, basically, someone in his family. So it's a long story. But she said that before it happened, she saw that it was going to happen. She told me, I saw that he was going to get shot, but I just didn't believe it. You know, I had a dream where it happened. I didn't believe it. And then it happened. And she was big on that. And my mom was not the kind of person that threw stuff around like that, who just made big claims. So for her to say that, I think she really did see something. But again, it's a dream, man. You don't want to dig into my dreams. Who knows what from my dreams have come true or what could come true. I have this one dream now where my hernia, like, it's like, you know, when they blow up the balloon, they're going to make stuff with it. And it's that long balloon that blows up. That's my hernia turns into that. It protrudes out of my stomach like a damn clown balloon. And I'm trying to stuff my guts back into my stomach and I'm yelling for help and no one will help me.
I'm trying to think
live with that one.
I'm trying to think something snarky to say, but I don't want to come off as a
you don't want to come across snarky?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something dickish to say, but I'm worried I'll come across as a dick.
I wasn't gonna say dick on the show, but now that I know that it's okay to say dick.
Now, back to your question earlier, Ethan, you asked about faith healers.
Yeah.
Also, the worst. If psychics are bad, faith healers are even worse.
They're just psychics evolved.
I think we all agree on that.
I don't even have to talk about it. All I can do is point you to the John Oliver episode where we talked about faith healing.
Yep.
Because there's nothing I can say that he didn't say better. Other than the fact that even when I was a kid, I used to watch, what's that one guy's name? The real famous one he picked on in that one.
I forget
his name too. And it doesn't matter. He's an awful, awful person. But I used to watch him on TV because all we had was like basic television when I was younger.
Yeah. Mm.
So I would see those commercials constantly. I watched the 700 Club. Because I didn't want to. Because
there was nothing else on.
But I saw that guy. And even back then, I was thinking like, that's ridiculous. He wants me to send him money so God will shine upon me. Like that. I'm not even a big religious person and I'm not huge on religion. But I feel like even most religious people would look at that and go, that's a red flag. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are people that believe in the prosperity gospel. That is a real thing.
And it's just.
Just like people believe in psychics.
Yeah.
It's a big industry. They make tons of money on this. There's world famous psychics. John Edwards, Sylvia Brown. What's that one jackass's name? I don't remember all of them.
So
do your own show.
Not to give them any kind of, like, this is like a sad realism, but they do have the placebo effect on their side. People can kind of will themselves to get better from certain things.
Okay, Dr. Mm-hmm. Strange.
No, he's right.
No,
it's an actual thing.
And it's bad of them to take money, and there's way easier ways to get a placebo effect. Sugar pills exist. But
we watched,
just eat candy.
Hey, mass amounts of chocolate have been equal to the feeling of love.
I need to eat a lot more chocolate.
You do. That's a true story. Allie and I watched, we're big fans of Adam Ruins Everything, which I think you are too,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes.
And they had an episode about, it was the Halloween episode where they talked about psychics.
I thought you were going to say, you and Allie watched me eat a lot of chocolate.
It's a weird show.
Okay.
That's the worst show on the network because all you hear is just.
Was it the Halloween episode? It was about like people using self. Care
nugget.
Can you stop?
I think we broke Ethan.
Yeah, he's done.
I won't be on the show for months.
No, it was the Halloween episode because it was the one where they had the three different things, and one of them was TV psychics or psychics.
Oh, they did do that one. Yeah. I was thinking about the placebo effect one.
Yeah, but that was about drugs. But it's, you can tie them together. But yep. In that episode about the psychics, the guy that was talking about it did mention that there are some psychics who do use their quote unquote ability, whether they think it's paranormal in nature or if it's just reading, to help people. To help them with therapy and stuff like that. And they don't charge for it. And he said, there are some good psychics out there, which I have a statement from Asa here because Asa hates psychics. He and I agree on this. We both hate psychics. He probably hates them even more than I do. And he sent me a message because he said, I don't know how to, I didn't figure out how to post this without posting it as Podzilla. So I'm just going to send it to you. So this is what Asa had to say, the five-star man. He said, people who say they can communicate with dead relatives for a price are the scum of the earth. They are nothing but con artists who prey on the grief and vulnerability of those who have lost someone and are looking for any possible answer. Anytime anyone has claimed, and I clicked a button, give me a second. Anytime anyone has claimed that they have some sort of psychic telekinetic ability has never been able to replicate their abilities in a sterile scientific environment. I very much encourage anyone or everyone to go out and watch An Honest Liar by the amazing Randy, the amazing James Randy, demonstrates how these frauds steal people's money. Are psychic abilities possible? Maybe, but there has been zero scientific proof to suggest it. And he's right. There, kind of Cliff notes this, but James Randy was a magician who decided to expose fake psychics and people that, you know, exploit other people for money. And he has a foundation. And they have, since I think like the 60s or 70s, they have offered, it's either $1 to $10 million to anyone that can prove paranormal abilities under a scientific, in a scientific environment. And some people have gotten close, but no one has ever
actually
fit the criteria.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about the men who stare at goats?
You like that movie.
I enjoyed that movie, actually. It was weird.
I think paranormal, I think the paranormal is hard to study. We've talked about it before. Ghosts and psychic abilities and stuff like that. There is no way to gauge it. So how can you gauge it properly?
Because it could just be random.
It could be random.
What Tony kind of mentioned is it's not something that you can control because he was talking more of like the prophecy type of thing. It just happens.
Well, right. And it might even purely be external. So we might not be causing it. Mm-hmm. It just happens.
We're just part of it.
Yeah.
There's a belief that ghosts are created by people, that you may have a suppressed psychic ability or whatever you want to call it, and that can manifest as a ghost.
Isn't what's that the basic of poltergeist?
No, that was actual ghosts, but there is a movie, and I don't remember what it's called, but it was based on a study that these people actually tried to create their own ghost through psychic ability, and they did, and it ended up killing them.
What's the word for people, a thing existing because enough people believe in it?
The Mandela effect?
No, but that's a future episode, don't worry.
Okay.
Mandela effect is when you remember something differently from it actually was.
It's like something geist.
It's not poltergeist.
No, it's like...
Zeitgeist?
Yeah, I think that's like
that's the word I was thinking, and I was actually about to research it. Zeitgeist.
Well, you mean Google? You mean I'm a psychic, Shannon.
The defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history is shown by the ideas and beliefs of the time. No, it's not that.
Hmm.
Forget the word. Just tell us what you mean.
Well, I mean, like,
show me your moves.
That's it's a consciousness thing of a lot of people. It's a manifestation of a lot of ill will or goodwill, whatever right. It might be.
The power of friendship, where if we all believe, it'll come true.
Yes, you have to clap your hands for Tinkerbell. and
are you Tinkerbell?
Well, I'm definitely not a psychic.
But, I mean, it might be along those lines, right?
Yeah.
It might not be any one domino. It has to be all of them.
It's a joined conscious. Kind of that we created ourselves. I mean, that's true in any way. I mean, people have created lots of things, lots of monsters just by believing in them, things that never existed or that we have no proof exist. But yeah, I think psychic ability, if it's true or
like
anything
flat
paranormal.
Bigfoot?
What's that?
Like flat Bigfoot?
Like flat foot?
Like flat Earth in general.
Hey, if Earth was flat, we couldn't make an Earth sandwich.
I like the picture of Earth where it shows the Earth going around the sun, and it's like it's like this is what you think it is, but it's actually a frisbee.
Well, also the flat earthers, there are millions of flat earthers around the world poster. Give you a second to think about that sentence.
I got it already. I got it.
Womp womp.
So yeah, the finals of that is that it's not real. Or we don't think it's real. But there are good people out there that could use that for the good of others. And if it's not real, but you use it in a good way.
To help people find some
to help people find peace
closure
or closure, right.
Without
so
putting them into poverty.
Is that okay?
Taking advantage of them.
Is that okay?
Because you're still kind of...
You're still manipulating people, yeah.
Yeah, manipulating.
I mean, but in a way, that's what therapists do. They manipulate their patients because that's what behavioral therapy is.
I think the fact that you just said that therapists manipulate their patients speaks a lot about what you think of therapists.
I mean, I agree with her and I go to therapy.
I didn't think therapists don't manipulate.
Well,
that's
why
they just
think that way because you go.
Don't they? They listen.
Have you ever met a behavioral analyst? My mom would agree with what I just
they're not,
said.
I barely met your mom.
They're not great at parties.
That's a great thing to say. It's like, my mom would agree with me. She were here.
My mom Allie. Thinks I'm pretty.
That could be diagnosed.
Does she also feed you tacos?
What?
I'll tell you later.
Things just got a little creepy.
This whole show's been a little creepy. I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's manipulating someone. Manipulating has such a negative.
Yeah, but don't therapists go to school for it?
Yes.
Don't therapists
how to manipulate people.
They're licensed and
right.
They have.
So they're taught to manipulate for good.
Right. If a therapist. So my thought on this is that a therapist does what they do because they've taken an oath, because they have been taught how to help people and how to do it the right way. A person that can manipulate people into thinking something, even if it's for good, it's the Superman thing. Like, how easy would it be to turn that for evil? And do they have the same
moral compass
to do it that a therapist would have by definition?
So I don't know if you know this, Shannon, but everyone you talk to manipulates everyone else.
Calvin, I don't know if you know this, but I am the master goddamn manipulator. There is no one that manipulates better than me, just for the record.
He's right, Calvin. See?
You want to say so?
No. Ask literally anybody. But I try not to use it for evil. I use it for
good. Unless you
make
him mad.
No, it takes a lot to make me mad.
So then the argument becomes define evil.
Just watch the SNL skit.
The evil convention?
Yes.
What is evil?
No. A cold day in July.
That's not evil. That'd be great.
I know, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
I can't give you the definition of evil because...
We
don't have enough time for this. There's like 2 minutes left.
Is the motive what makes it evil?
Or is the outcome what makes it evil?
I think it's the motive.
Okay, so if somebody manipulates somebody else to one-up them, to gain an advantage, but it does them no harm, is that evil?
You all make my head hurt.
I'm trying to even consider what you just said as a sentence.
Maybe it's a combination of
things. If I can get ahead by manipulating somebody else, but it doesn't hurt them in any way.
Did you know that it wouldn't hurt them?
Sure. Let's say yes.
Give me an example.
If you lie to someone over something that has no effect on them, but it will benefit you.
Yeah.
Are you evil for doing that?
I'm just confused.
I get what he's saying. It's... And I think it's half and half, now that you say it that way. I mm-hmm. think it's part intent and part what happens after the fact. But I still think that if you have no training and you have an ability to make people think how you want them to think, that's dangerous.
You should never talk to a sociopath.
You might be talking to one right now.
I can guarantee it.
one in five people are a sociopath. There's five people at this table.
That statistic is skewed.
That statistic,
I'm pretty sure you just pulled that out of the air.
No, I predicted it. That's going to be the statistic in 10 years.
Yep.
I would bet at least 3 people at this table are sociopaths. I know I am. I've been told that enough.
There's a correlation between intelligence and sociopathy.
So do you have to have a high intelligence score to...
I think so, actually.
I mean, it's not a necessity, but it's... Well, no, psychopath
generally
is...
you have a disconnect from something at the
same
time.
Feel no, you don't feel empathy.
No, you can feel empathy to be a sociopath.
Well, what's the one where you don't feel empathy?
That's a psychopath. But also, you have to have murderous intent, more or less.
I thought the difference was, like...
One is actually out to...
Aggressiveness of it.
Well, we're out of time. We've helped no one.
Help no one with their homework.
So,
this therapy session will be $350.
I feel like this is more of a therapy session than anything else. So
I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
We've never reached a catharsis on this show.
We haven't.
Like,
I thought this was an easy one. Psychic dumb.
You invited me on this show.
Psychic dumb people.
It's never
smart.
Going to be easy.
Psychic dumb people awful and easy to manipulate. Look up, your homework for tonight is to look up some of these people we mentioned tonight.
My homework is to learn Spanish.
Hola.
Well, look it up.
¿Cómo estás?
Le loco. Psychic. That means the crazy psychic. Look up Sylvia Brown. Look up John Edwards. Look up psychics and how terrible they are, and then never ever fall for it. If you want to speak to a dead loved one, you're just gonna have to wait, just like the rest of us.
Or use a Ouija board.
It works in court,
apparently.
All right,
so does horses.
You guys, maybe. A great night. We'll see you tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Until then, take care of yourself. And Ethan, watch the skis. Guys. Whoa. We'll be right back.